This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
So speaking of talent, Paul George is obviously very talented. And he's going to be a Hall of Famer. And I am very glad he's a Sixer. And the Sixers played a more competitive game with him last night. Almost beat Phoenix, didn't. Interesting game. He was rusty, but that's okay. He's supposed to be rusty. Hadn't played in a while. But ended a game not so good. So the Sixers are down 2 points. There's seconds remaining. They get the ball to Paul George. I want to play the audio for you as Kate Scott called it on NBC Sports Philadelphia. And then we'll get to what Paul George said after the game, which is kind of funny, but only because the way he delivers it is funny. But, like, not good. Here's how it ended last night.
George with eight. PG with six. George to his left. Create some space. Mid-range. Around and off. Martin to Maxey for the win, and it will not go. And the Sixers had two great looks there in the final 6 seconds, Alan, but just couldn't convert.
All right, so if you notice in the lead-up to that, I said Sixers down two. They go for a two, eventually a three, but they go for a two initially, which is fine. You know, you can tie the game, but you would...
If that's what you want to do.
If that's what you want to do. You would prefer... That, like, the star wing, I don't know, what's it called? Know the score! Let's listen to Paul George. Brandon Witt, you hear this. This is an all-timer. This is game one as a Sixer. It's not quite for who for what. Ricky Witter's 1995. Not that bad. But PG, come on, man.
I mean, that was, again, bad evaluation. I thought we were down one. I thought when KD made the layup, that put them up one. Otherwise, go for the three to try to win the game opposed to going for a two to tie the game. So after watching it, another bonehead play. Again, in that situation, why not go for the win?
Come on, man. Come on.
Another bonehead play.
Again, the line, and it is kind of funny. The line was
another bonehead play
in his first game.
One.
How is it another? It's your first. It's
another bonehead play.
I mean, and
very
by the
first,
way, and Brandon,
game.
Brandon, you know what Paul
We're
George just did? Paul George is going to do dirty a lot of current and future Philadelphia athletes because
another bonehead play.
He's going to be set on our show for Eagles, Flyers, Sixers. Phillies.
Another bonehead play.
You know, when there's a bad pitching change, you might not call it a play, but I'm going to say...
Another bonehead play.
You know, I mean, if Jalen Reagor, God forbid, comes back and drops the ball...
Another bonehead play.
Carson Wentz, by the way, almost got in that
almost
game last
got
night.
In
he
there.
Almost got in there
I
last
was
night.
Like, wow.
You know what we would have had? 10.
Another bonehead play.
All right, let's go to the phones. If you saw the Sixers, I know it was very late last night. If you want to comment on them, you know, please do. 215-592-9494. 1-5 is terrible. Now, encouraging that they played a better game last night. And they'll be better with Paul George. That's clear.
But they've got to figure out that end of the game stuff.
No, there's no doubt.
I mean, Maxey has to be involved.
So I don't know where I net out yet. I got to see it more. I mean, the bottom line is one of them's going to have the ball with 10 seconds to go to attack. You can make an argument for both.
But I'm talking about the last 4-20.
No, right.
I
yes.
mean,
yeah,
you
that's
know,
right.
I mean, Maxey had 32 points.
And then no shots.
And then
yeah.
nothing. He had one free throw.
Yeah, no, that's not good. All right, phones. Sean and King of Prussia. Sean, what's going on, pal?
Yo, Joe, what's up, man?
What's up, Doc?
That's new, too.
There it is. The debut. So today we've got
another bonehead player.
And because last week, Sean, I made a Bugs Bunny reference, and I got to tell you something.
Hammer!
Said to himself, we should have...
What's up, Doc?
As a hello back.
That's old school.
Hello, Sean. Brandon, yeah, you like that, by the way?
On, on John Rivers when he dropped the scheduled off on us. He said, what's up, Doc?
All right, what's going on, Sean? But that's going to be a regular. And by the way, that gets mixed in with...
What's up, Big Pimpin?
And also, when someone calls and says good morning, I say...
Good morning. And thank you for joining me.
So now I got a couple retorts as a nice hello. All right, Sean, the floor is yours. What do you got?
I just want to say I'm glad you had a good time at that show the other night. And I'm sure the Hooters put on a fine show. Oh. I'm sure they do. They've been around for a while. They're a great band.
Great band.
Were you like raging on the floor, like getting crazy with other people around you, sweating and dancing?
Keswick Theater.
I'm trying to picture this.
Keswick Theater goes back to like the 1920s. There are chairs.
Oh, so you're sitting in a chair.
There's no mosh pit.
You just sit.
You stood. I would say we stood for about 80% of the concert.
Okay, you have a chair right behind you. That you're just like attached to almost.
If you need to be, but
so
I
you
was
just stand there and then you clap after a song.
I would clap sometimes, hands over the head. You know
what? That's how you dance.
Sometimes I'm pulling out the cigarette lighter. No, I'm just kidding.
All right,
Sean. Well, I got to show the boys I admire them. I mean, listen, one of them I think is like 71 years old. I mean, they're
so you're you.
Well, no, there's an appreciation
you have
for
to
the show.
Gently support them.
There's an appreciation for their career. I mean, there's some of Philadelphia's finest, the Hooters. All right, Sean, what do you got on the Eagles?
Oh man, I just want to say what's up to BG real quick. You're my man. Probably my all-time favorite Eagle, and just goes to show how far we go back. I'm a Notre Dame fan, so we didn't get along exactly the first, you know, three, four years of your career. But goes to show how much love you got for the city and how much you reach out to us because you're my guy now.
Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, and I wanted to touch on the Kelce thing a little bit. I mean, I know these people are human, you know. These are human beings, guys, and you know, are all Jason Kelce of all people to show that like not everybody can handle this, and literally probably nobody can handle something like that extreme.
Well, Sean, you know what was said? So, yes, and I agree with you. Yesterday when me and John and Rhea and James were discussing it, and then when Seth Joyner was here, we got into an interesting territory that I thought made a lot of sense. So walking away is not ever easy when someone's saying something to you. But we all agreed it is made considerably harder when it is said to you about a family member.
Exactly.
Like, Sean, if someone says something to me, I'm not going to be happy, and I may react. If someone says something to me about my mom, my girlfriend, my brother,
then it changes.
My sister.
So we need to have the same grace for Joel Embiid then that we seem to be having for Kelce here in this situation.
I have a lot of grace for Joel, and I can say that he didn't handle it.
Yeah, you can't put
the
your
best.
Hands on somebody.
Yeah, no,
Jason Kelce put his hand on somebody.
Yeah,
too.
He grabbed his phone. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a difference between touching the phone and the person. But look, I have grace for Kelce and Joel in this. But we could also say...
Look, Jason, I love Jason Kelce, and I probably wouldn't have handled that any better than him. So, I
understand.
Give him props for that.
All right,
just
Sean, give me...
You just need to remember, you know, when you're yelling these things at these people, like...
Well, sure.
You know, it's not just a game.
Well, how about the guy, how about the punk that yells it? And look, I'm not a James Franklin fan, okay? But think about this moment when Franklin loses the Penn State, Ohio State game on Saturday. He's walking off the field. A fan yells at him. Franklin addresses the guy and says, "What is your name?" And the person spins and walks away.
Covers his face and runs away.
Totally. Like, Franklin handled it like a man, and the kid punked out. Weak.
Wait, what? So what was said by the kid?
The kid yelled something.
It was something about always losing in big games or something like that.
I don't know the exact line.
He said, "What is your name?"
What is your name? Just what is your name?
Franklin should be going over the kids in the field too.
And Franklin and I thought Franklin handled it. And I'm not a Franklin guy.
It's getting real.
I thought he handled it well, and the kid punked out.
That's a great response. Because even if you wasn't going to do nothing, I'm going to challenge you and say, what's your name?
Right. Yeah. Who are you? Identify yourself, kid. All right, Sean, give me an answer. A movie line that was yelled.
All right, so this is what Sirianni needs to do after we come out after a win and everybody has questions and, you know, Saquon's jumping over people backwards. Get up on that microphone and say, are you not entertained?
Oh, good answer.
Big answer.
Good answer.
Love that.
So, all right, speaking of that, let's get to the Saquon thing. By the way, it's 94 WIP.
Gladiator 2 is coming out.
Yeah, the 22nd.
Sometime.
November 22nd.
Oh, wow. Mm.
I still
think
it's
supposed
to be
good.
It's like 2 and a half. Yeah, it's supposed to be entertaining. Yeah, hey. Like not like win all the Oscars good, but it's supposed to be really entertaining. Is what I've heard, at least. Advanced word and stuff.
I'm really excited.
James,
I think
will
we're
be
all very
as entertaining as the first thrilled. Time I went to Gladiator?
I don't think so.
No, that's
if I had to guess.
When am I getting that story, Joe?
I don't know.
In my book.
Never, ever.
In my book.
Yeah, okay.
Not that book, a different book.
Brandon, did you know that Joe believes that Clubber Lang killed Mickey?
It's manslaughter. He pushes a guy that falls into Mick, and then Mick's dead like 30 minutes later. That's manslaughter.
In Rocky 3.
He comes down.
It's the same reasoning as the refs had for not calling
Mickey
Saquon down on that fumble.
He has a heart attack. Joe believes
how
that
did we
heart
get
attack
to Clubber
was
Lang?
Caused by Clubber.
I mean, I'm not wrong.
You are wrong. You're absolutely wrong.
No, here's what it
you're
is.
You're saying Clubber Lang deserves to be in jail for killing Mickey.
Well, it's...
Mickey died of a heart attack.
It's not
it's
first
natural
degree.
Causes.
And again, they should have taken... Mickey could have lived. Like, you can't blame Clubber for them leaving Mickey in the locker room the whole time for the fight. Like, if they had taken him to the hospital right away, he could have lived. It's nonsense.
They should have... Ray, I'm going to give you a WIP reference. Here's what that one was.
Okay.
We're going back about 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
That was Andrew McCutchen's knee being torn because Gene Segura didn't run to first base.
100%. I hope Angela's not listening right now. You better not be listening.
100%.
You're going to make him angry.
By the way, Angela goes into the Philadelphia Sports Hall of Fame on Thursday. Gabe Kapler doesn't have a job. Do you think he shows up?
Oh, my God. It remains one of the most crazy days.
That was still the craziest interview I think I've ever heard on this.
If you had been at the Borgata, you would have just seen Al and I with our heads in our hands. Like, oh, my God.
You think Donovan will boo on Thursday? Angelo goes in.
Oh, he should.
Donovan
that would be,
shows
that would actually
up
be one of
Bruce.
The funniest things that ever happened.
Brandon, it would be funny.
Man, that would be funny.
That would be funny. You know, that would be good. By the way, congrats to the crew going in on Thursday. Ryan Howard is one of them. Chase Utley is one of them. Jameer Nelson is one of them. It's a great event. Great. I emcee that event annually. Looking forward to it.
Is J-Roll in it already?
J-Roll got in 2 years ago.
No, I was just surprised.
Unfortunately, it was the night when the Eagles and Phillies both played, it was horribly unfortunate timing.
Yeah. Oh, was it the World Series?
It was
Texans game?
No, it was one of the Phillies playoff games at the same time that the Eagles played. And so, like...
God, attendance must have been awful.
Let me put it this way. I emcee that event annually, except for that year.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, it is what it
go,
is.
Can't go, sorry.
Couldn't do it. All right, 215-592-9494. It's 94 WIP, HD1 Philadelphia, as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake Studio. Brandon Graham with us. Let's talk about the Saquon thing, but as we do, let's play what Herm Edwards said yesterday. There have been so many reactions around the nation. Herm Edwards was one of my favorite. Here's Herm Edwards yesterday on a program talking about Saquon, then we'll get Brandon Graham's reaction.
That play that I witnessed yesterday, I've never seen anything. You won't see that again. You know, people talk about these one-hand catches. You can practice that. They had one-hand catch in high school and college. Great athletes, one hand. That's all we talk about. A receiver makes a one-hand catch. You will never see that again, what we saw yesterday. That's a historical move, guys. I mean, what he was able to do within a 5-yard circumference, the explosion he had in his body to jump up, and then jump up, not only jump up, but go backwards and jump over a guy. Right. I'm like, and then land on his feet.
And then turn and carry two guys.
And kept running within a 5-yard increment. It was like, what is this, man? What is this? And you can't teach that, by the way. That's not in the book.
It's so good, Brandon.
That's good.
So, Brandon, when you guys have had moments with, like, in the last 48 hours, privately, what do you say to him after that? I mean, you don't not say something, right? You got to acknowledge this is an all-time situation. Mm-hmm. What do you say?
Man, you just congratulate that man because we see the work he put in all offseason. You seen how lean he was, some of them workout videos he used to post. It's like, man, if anybody watching him, make sure you just keep working and enjoy the journey because I think he enjoying himself too because he's not overly nothing. Like he, you wouldn't even be able to tell that he was that he just made all those plays because he just himself. Like he just like, what up, y'all? What up? You know, y'all seen a little bit of how selfless he is. Yeah. I mean, it's like that every day. He's funny, just brutally honest, you know what I'm saying, about himself. And
how often do you see crazy stuff like that backward jump over somebody in practice? Is it just
You can't do that.
No, but you can see crazy stuff that is unlikely. I remember when I was playing with, you know, I came in the same draft class as Charles Woodson.
Mm-hmm.
When I first was on the field with this guy, it was blocking an extra point. You know, it was just in practice doing that. Like I was the wing doing that thing where you like step down and then step out.
Mm-hmm.
And Charles was coming off the edge and I couldn't touch him. It was just like, wait, how did that just happen? How did he just slip by me where I knew he was, I knew exactly what he was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
He was so fast, like 2 inches off the ground, it was like he wasn't even human.
Mm-hmm.
It was a spider going by me at full speed that I was unable to even, it was just otherworldly.
The bend, yeah. The Von Miller type bend, right?
Incredible. Yeah. So, wow, amazing to behold in person.
Yeah, I think just even watching like a AJ do some stuff. I mean, you know, seeing McCoy shake up, do some shakes in practice. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's fun to watch D-Jack go on a deep ball that Vic just threw, overthrew him, but he just, you know, sped up to go get it.
It doesn't matter. He overthrew him.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
you can't overthrow him.
All right, Brandon, so Dallas here, not here, but down there. I don't want you to, I really mean this, I don't want you to say anything that creates bulletin board material.
I got you.
You know, I look out for you like that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to say something.
Okay.
You win, you end their season.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just leave it there. I mean, they're 3-5. Seltzer, 3-6 doesn't normally get to the playoffs, right? I just want to make sure.
No, usually. Now, Brandon was on a team that did, for what it's worth, 2021 Eagles.
Wow.
Yeah, that's when it got tight at the end. That's when we all was bad. Like, you know, the division is funny like that.
No,
man.
It was 2020. He's saying 21. Oh, you 21. Guys came back from 3-6.
You were 3-6, and you actually went 9-8 and made the playoffs.
Brandon, what was that 2020 season like? I don't want to spend too much time on it, but what in the world?
No fans?
No fans, no nothing.
That was tough because you realize how not close you really are in those moments when you don't have no fans to like kind of mask some of the stuff. You know what I'm saying? Because you're trying to generate being hype, and some people just ain't hype for you. You know what I'm saying? As professionals, trying to get theirs and get up out of here. You know what I'm saying? But it's just it was an eye opener for us. But it was so good because it exposed a lot of stuff too. But yeah, that's all it did. I mean, it was ball once you out there and they had the little fake noise going. But yeah, you could tell in moments where it got tight. It got tight.
So that's really interesting, the fake noise. I didn't know this. Could you guys hear it in the stadium? I thought it was only the broadcast.
Nah. You can hear some stuff.
In the stadium.
Well, not like overly loud or nothing, but yeah, you hear stuff.
Oh, mm-hmm. Interesting. I thought that was only in the broadcast.
Mm-mm. Nah, you hear it going in there too. They wouldn't have it like real loud, but you heard it.
Didn't know that. Hey, Brandon, congratulations on a 4-game winning streak, man.
Man,
we're very, very happy for you, and we'll see you next week.
Hey, keep it going, man. You know how we do. We just build it one play at a time, one day at a time. Like I told you, you know, first year coordinators, we working, and these young boys, they getting it, and I'm loving it, man. Just happy to be the, you know, one of the captains of the team, man. Just, we are captains. We all out here, you know, policing each other, doing the best we can for the city, because we want to be holding that trophy in the end, man. I told you, stay with us.
You guys are getting better
every week, I promise you. And it's just because of us staying the course and staying on it one day at a time and enjoying being around each other. Because, man, you look too far ahead, you're going to miss it. It's going to be over with. Then you're going to be on to the next thing, and hopefully we holding it. But it's like, man, I'm trying to record everything. I'm trying to look back on these moments when I'm done. So I just tell them boys, enjoy what's going on right now. And when we get there, we get there.
Brandon, good job, man. Congrats. Yeah. All right. Go to camera, John Ritchie. Where now that I've got this new drop, I could just start a segment and say,
what's up, Doc?
I mean, John, it is a classic. We have to acknowledge Bugs is an all-timer. And it does work as a, like the caller says, hey, guys. And we say,
what's up, Doc?
Just saying, I'm not going to overuse it, but I am going to use it. It's a little bit like Saquon Barkley. You got to balance out how often you use them, which I do think they are using them a bit too much. Now, look, that game got too close, and if it hadn't, then obviously you could have not had to use them as much deep in the fourth quarter. We all know that. But, I do think they're leaning on them a lot, and I think we're seeing that impact with the way he's getting up right now from some of these tackles. All right, let's go to the phones. Elliot Short Parks shortly. Sirianni joins us at 8:40. By the way, he's part of our Twitter poll question of the day today. Maybe we'll ask Nick to comment on this one, John. Twitter poll question brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Check out Armin's selection of quality one-owner pre-owned vehicles at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. Here's the question. Is Nick Sirianni a good NFL head coach? Yes or no? I'm in the yes camp, and I know that a lot of people probably are not. I think he's better than a lot of you think for a bunch of reasons. Let's go to the phones. JB and Chestnut Hill. JB, good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, JB?
Hey, pal.
Hey, it's Buddy. Joe, I was actually thinking about your Mickey death for a few minutes there while I was on hold. I think you're on to something there.
Dude, I'm totally right.
But then also the other side is James is also right. Isn't it also negligent homicide on Rocky's crew for letting a poor guy die?
100%.
100%.
It just is.
He just sits there.
Everybody's out of jail,
baby. Oh, I'm just going to stay here for the fight and just chill out in the back when I could have just gone to the hospital and been revived and saved. Who knows?
Yeah. Listen, good points all around, JB.
Yeah, there you go. I think the question maybe shouldn't be, is Nick a good coach? He obviously has to be a good coach to get a coaching job in the NFL.
Well, not I don't agree with that because I think Rich Kotite was a bad coach. I think there are people that ascend to roles in life that aren't good at that job. Yeah. I mean, no one will convince me Kotite in his last 39 games went 4-35. 4-35.
Well, let's see what
that's almost impossible.
That is incredibly. It is almost impossible.
Yeah,
to be that inept.
Yeah,
good.
Like the odds would say the ball's going to bounce your way. Like they have to give you some turnovers that are going to help your cause enough to win a couple games more than that.
And JB, just for what it's worth, and I know it's 40 years ago, but you know, Marion Campbell, like you can be a good coordinator, you can be a great coordinator. Some guys just aren't. Yeah, Swamp Fox. I mean, Marion Campbell as a head coach, both here and in Atlanta, was a disaster.
Absolute disaster.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, I also think that what's his name from Michigan was probably one of the top five college football players of all time.
Fox was someone's name.
It was Marion Campbell's nickname.
Is a great nickname for Joe.
Come on, man.
The Swamp Ass.
Maybe Joe could be the Swamp Ass.
Oh, gosh.
JB. It's really unfair.
Wow.
First, I get accosted today because I did not dance at the Hooters concert because I'm a little self-conscious and I don't like that. Now I get called that.
But you're supposed to be having fun with your girlfriend at the concert.
Well, I can have fun without,
Did she dance?
Dancing. Yeah, she gets into it a bit.
Oh, she danced and you didn't?
Not much.
Come on.
All right, JB, we got to move here. Give me a movie line that is yelled.
I had two lines. I gave one earlier. I got two lines. Has anyone used Jack Nicholson? You can't handle the truth?
Yes, I did.
Oh, How about show me the money?
Great answer, man. That's
huge
a big answer.
Answer.
Show me the money.
Which one?
Well, I think the one. Because he says it back.
They say it back and forth, yeah.
That's a good question. Well, we didn't ask him. Who knows?
I think it's the whole
thing. By the way, quick thing, Marion Campbell, something that would never, ever, it will never happen again in pro football history. Because, you know, you coaches used to have I got a 5-year plan. Now you better get it done in 2 years, you're gone, right? Yeah. He coached for 9 years in pro football, never had a winning record.
Unbelievable.
Never won more than 6 games. Coached for 9 seasons.
Unbelievable.
No, if you're like a Brett Brown and you're trying to tank, that would be different, but that doesn't happen in pro football. It doesn't happen for 9 years. James, we do know today's the trade deadline in pro football. What do you
got? Yes, we have our first trade of the day and a contender for the NFC getting better. The Cleveland Browns have traded Za'Darius Smith, pass rusher, to the Detroit Lions. A fifth and a sixth going there, and the Lions getting
that.
A seventh back. I mean, where you at, Howie?
Yeah.
Fifth and a sixth? This is the guy that Elliot, last time he was on with us, said the Eagles should go get.
Okay, let's talk to Elliot right now. It is trade deadline day. That'll be one of many things we talk to him about. Reminder, Nick Sirianni in 15 minutes joins the program. Elliot right now is brought to us by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7 at colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. Let's welcome in Elliot. Good morning, bud.
What up? How you guys doing?
Quite a bit, Elliot. Let's start trade deadline. Do you expect the Eagles to make a move today? And if so, which position would you like to see them target?
So I think they should make a move, and I think they could make a move. I don't think they have to. Like, I do think this team is good enough as is. But in all my years covering Howie Roseman, what I do know is he will work the phones up until the last minute. So, you know, I wish I had more information. Are they definitely going to trade for an edge rusher? I just think it's going to depend on if he feels he's getting good value. I'm really surprised they didn't trade for Za'Darius Smith, especially when you consider they allowed him to go to the biggest rival by far in the conference, you know, for their chance to go to the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I'm surprised by that one.
That's a fail by Howie right here. Elliot, can't you say with relative certainty this is something we did not want to happen and we probably could have used this player?
Yeah, without question. I mean, Za'Darius Smith is still a very good player. He has almost as many hits, hurries, and sacks as anybody else on the Eagles roster. He was a really good player last year. He was top 25 in the league. In the year before, he was top 5. So, you know, I think the Eagles' pass rush has been better. It's still not a unit I believe in when it push comes to shove. And really, it's how they have to view everything. In Detroit, conference championship game, do we trust them to get a pass rush? And I think the answer has to be no as of right now. So we'll see if they get a more proven pass rusher after 4 o'clock. But, that's a disappointing thing, I think, for the Eagles. And now, not only are they not getting to Za'Darius Smith, they're going to have to go again.
Sure. Ellie, can you remind us what do the Eagles have in draft picks? I know they lost that third rounder with Dotson. So what are they working with? I mean, that's a big loss for something that's been very little production.
So I know next year they have 3 fifth-round picks, but I don't believe any of them are actually there. They have the Lions pick, the Commanders pick, and then maybe the third one actually is there. So they don't have any, like, great value, I would say, in next year's draft, assuming they're not going to move a first, second, or third-round pick. The year after, in 2026, they have all their picks. So you could see potentially a future pick be moved. And then obviously they also have that additional pick that they're going to get from the Hassan Reddick trade, which kind of cancels out that Jahan Dotson trade. So they have cap room. They have draft picks. Like, they have ammunition to work with, without question.
Elliot Shore-Parks with us here. Nick Sirianni in 10 minutes. All right, Elliot, I've been on the record today saying I think the town's unfair to Sirianni. And it's not that there's not certainly moments to criticize him and sometimes loudly criticize him, but I think the town has dogged him too much. I think this recent stretch is an example. 4-game winning streak, you know, a lot of stuff here. So I want to play some audio of Donovan McNabb from yesterday in the afternoon show with Spike and Ike and Jack. I thought he made a series of good points discussing Sirianni. I want to play this Donovan audio and then get your reaction. Here's Donovan yesterday on WIP.
Majority of the people who are upset at Nick Sirianni are people who just don't like Nick Sirianni. They don't like his demeanor. They don't like his energy. It's always something they try to pick out. One thing I can say about this football team is they're gelling and playing well together. And that's a start from their head coach. Is it a reason because they feel like they had to fight for Nick Sirianni and what he went through early on? Maybe. But I think with everybody healthy, offensively, the chemistry is definitely there. You know, I love seeing what we're doing as far as methodically moving the football, obviously running the football through Saquon and the things that he's been able to do. Our defense is applying pressure. We're being a little bit more aggressive on defense. So overall, I would have to say that I'm excited about where we are. I want to continue to see us grow. But you have to tip your hat off to Nick and his coaching staff of the adjustments that they've made.
And for those that don't know, Donovan, part of the afternoon show every Monday at 4 o'clock. It's great to have, you know, another Eagles legend part of the station, and he has been for a couple years. So, Elliot,
Key statement in there, with everybody healthy.
Yeah. So, Elliot, I agree with Donovan. Where do you net out on this Sirianni thing now in year 4?
Yeah, well, McNabb would certainly know about being underappreciated despite great results, right? So I'm sure that he certainly can sympathize there. Yeah, Nick is absolutely a great head coach, and I really don't see any argument to the contrary. Like, you can point to the loaded roster he's had, and he has. He's had a great roster. But since 2021, only one NFL head coach in the entire league has a better active winning percentage than Nick Sirianni does. So he's taken that talent. He's taken him to the Super Bowl. He's taken him to the playoffs every year. And I think this year specifically is a great example how nobody wants to give him credit. The first 4 weeks of the season, Jalen Hurts is struggling. The team's 2-2, right? He has the incident after the Browns game. Everybody wants to fire him. In these last four games, have you noticed a change in the offense? The change in the offense, they have gone from what the first 4 weeks was more of a pass-heavy offense. If you look at their early down pass rate, they were passing it at about a 50-50 rate, pass, run, roughly on first and second down. Since the bye week, when Jalen Hurts is playing his best football, they look a lot like that 2021 team that Nick saved midseason as well. So no one will give Nick credit for it because he shows emotion on the sideline, he wears T-shirts, and for some reason that...
No, Elliot, hold on. It's
time and time again, he saved this team. How many times
do you have to do it? Hold on. It's in part because Lane Johnson told us he went in and talked to Nick about the he and the offensive line wanted to run the ball more.
But why does that matter?
Well,
why did he have to notice it and not Nick?
I mean, yeah.
Okay, good answers. Go ahead, Elliot. Yeah, go ahead.
Did every other head coach in the league work in a silent office where he gets no input from anybody else? Like, yes, Nick listens to his players. I see that as a positive, not a negative. Every player that I've talked to about that meeting, Jordan Mailata last night on the Players Lounge, Lane Johnson in the locker room, have said that it was a positive, constructive, back-and-forth thing. And I just don't view it as a negative that he listens to other people. In fact, if you think of the head coaches that have failed around
here. It sounds like you're defensive about him listening to other people right now.
No, but I know what you're about to say, Elliot. I mean, after Chip, who wasn't that long ago, who listened to no one, it's notable that he does.
And Doug didn't listen to anyone, right? Doug wouldn't listen to the coaching staff changes, and that's why he's out of here. And yes, Rissy, I do get defensive about it because it feels like every week after they win, it's the same thing on Monday. They win the game, then everybody talks about how they won it to spite Nick. He's 40-19 since he's been here, right? I've covered a lot of head coaches with the Eagles. Very few of them wanted this clip this consistently. So it just seems silly to me that we still have this debate week after week.
They've talked about him
with an incredible roster and 2-3 in the postseason where it matters the most. And it feels like we can point directly to the coaching for a reason why we've lost in some of those postseason situations.
So I think in the Super Bowl, he made two bad decisions. I would agree with you on that, right? Kicking the field goal and there was that punt. But we can't blame Nick for the plays that don't work. And then the plays that do work are just the players, right?
I agree.
The plays that do go well, that's the players saving him. The plays that don't go well, that's just Nick poor coaching. Like, it just doesn't add up. It's either the players or the coaching. And I feel like we go back and forth depending on what argument you want to make that bet.
No, I think that's right. All right, Elliot, very compelling today, my man. We'll talk to you later in the week, getting ready for the Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. Thanks, Elliot.
Thanks, yep, Elliot.
Elliot brought up something in there that I think, has to be factored into why.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why people feel the way they do about him, especially this season, is they were talking about him after the Cleveland game and after Sunday's game. Nobody was complaining, for the game against the Giants and the game against Cincinnati. There were issues after Cleveland, after Jacksonville. That's why we're talking about
it. No, I agree. We're not making it up out of thin air as a topic. I agree with that. But I do think, I'll just use this as an example. 4th-and-3 the other day. Goes for it, very criticized. And I didn't like the decision, and I was one of them that criticized. I didn't, come down on him, killing him about it, because I can understand going for 4th-and-3, but I would have kicked a field goal early in the game. But, I mean, it is notable, a couple weeks ago, goes for a 4th-and-3, and literally on that play, you know, Jalen Hurts has one of the receivers for a touchdown.
AJ Brown.
And like the ratio of criticism to praise for like very similar circumstance, it's like 100 to 1.
Yes.
It might be 1,000 to 1.
Right.
And that's what I think Elliot's saying. That's not fair. And I agree with him on that. All right, Nick Sirianni in 5 minutes. Phone calls right now. Oh, by the way, I want to play some audio real quick. Let's play Sirianni yesterday. This is important to know going into Sirianni about to join us in 5 minutes. So Sirianni yesterday talked about those decisions from Sunday, and I did not agree with all of them, but I wasn't as far down the track as some were in disagreeing with all of them. Sirianni yesterday discussed his decisions from Sunday, the fourth downs, the two-point conversions, what to do. He had about 6 or 7 hanging in the balance decisions. Here's Sirianni yesterday at his press conference discussing them.
You know, looking back on it, and I'm thinking, would I do anything different? And to be honest, sometimes I say absolutely. In this particular case, I felt like we did the right thing in all those scenarios.
All right, so he's standing by it. We'll talk to him about it coming up in a few minutes. Let's get to Anthony right now. Anthony, good morning.
Hey, good morning, team. How you guys doing?
Doing well, Anthony. How are you?
Doing fine, buddy.
I'm doing pretty good. Hey, I want to talk a little bit about Jason Kelce.
Yeah, what do you make of it?
I was real big, man. I'm proud of him, of what he did, man, in that moment on live TV. He got a lot of emotions running through his body, man. And he stood in there tough, man, and did the grown man thing, man. I'm really proud of Jason Kelce.
I felt, Anthony, the exact same way. I thought it was honorable. I thought it was wise. I thought, you know what I thought it was? I'll sum it up in one word. I thought it was Kelce. Right. It was Jason Kelce being Jason Kelce. That means wise, authentic, thoughtful. That was Jason Kelce being Jason Kelce. I really admired it as well.
Yeah. Yes, it was. Nick Sirianni, man, he's a good coach, man. He got this team playing unbelievable. When I thought going a little adversity over the Tampa game, he was going to fold and go back to last year, and he's pretty good. Man, he just needs to take the point, stop stepping on his own toes, and we'll be all right. We're going to be good.
Well, they're certainly looking, Anthony, and it's not a done deal yet, but it looks like they'll probably be a playoff team. And, you know, that's a good thing. And, of course, we want to see them do more than just make it and bow out quick like last year. We'll find out. Anthony, give me a great answer. A movie line that is yelled.
Not a movie line that is yelled. Bear with me. Give me a few seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Jay, you think you can do this to me? I'll have you guys playing basketball in Pelican Bay when I'm done. Here you go, Joe.
Is that it?
Ain't got nothing. On me.
Big answer.
Great delivery,
Denzel.
Too.
You almost sounded like Denzel. Wow. Anthony, well done,
damn
pal.
Damn good, man.
Really
moved
good.
Moved away from the phone so you can get the static. That was great.
I thought so, too. Yeah, Denzel, Training Day is a great movie, and it's a great scene.
Yep, great character, the whole thing.
That was really well done.
It was very well done.
Almost like, wow, really, well, really, what he prepared that.
So that's when he won his first best actor.
Correct.
Oh, really? That was his first?
He had won supporting.
In
Glory. I think he won, too.
Yeah, for Cry Freedom and Glory. I don't know that he won for Glory. Did he win for Glory?
No, I think he won for Glory. I don't think he won for Cry Freedom.
He didn't?
I don't think. We could look it up. What's his best role ever? Because he's got so many.
Wow. I mean, probably Malcolm X. I mean, that's an amazing performance.
Training Day is up there.
Glory, man.
Dude,
Malcolm X is like a 3.5-hour movie, and he's in every scene of the movie.
Which is way too long for me.
I get it, but like he has to carry that movie in a way that he doesn't have to carry any other movie.
Training Day is pretty amazing.
Training Day is phenomenal.
Training Day is more entertaining, I would say, but I think if you're asking what's like the best thing he ever did, I think it's probably Malcolm X. I don't know for sure.
It's Glory. But I don't know, man. He's an all-timer. All right, Nick Sirianni will join us shortly. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Bobby right now in Buckingham. Is this Buckingham Palace? Bobby, are you over the pond? Where are you?
Buckingham, PA.
It's right next to Doylestown.
Yeah, it's your New Hope, Doylestown.
Buckingham.
How do you not know Buckingham? Pull it together.
I mean, you're named after the people we fought a war against and kicked their ass.
Oh my God, there's thousands of cities. New England.
Yeah.
Buckingham. Yeah, you know what they call it? New. Why is it called New Buckingham?
Bobby,
New
York. Bobby, is New. It palatial in Buckingham? Do Even you have a do you have a palace?
No, actually, I live on Branches Lane, which is my last name, so technically it's like a palace.
Wow. Look like at that. You.
Good line.
All right, Bobby, what do you got on our birds? 6-2. What do you make of this?
I think they're in the right spot. I think Nick's a great coach. He's keeping this team in line. I don't think he's confident. I think when he makes mistakes, he learns from them. So I think everything's going in the right direction.
Well, I think it is too. And it is notable how split the audience is, the fan base is. I mean, we'll see where this poll result goes today. But, I mean, John, I think it's fair to say our callers have been very split, right?
I think, yeah, I think it's safe to say that each individual might be split
themselves.
Any day themselves.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I am so conflicted on this. I feel at the start of a game one way, and then by the end of the quarter, I might feel differently about Nick Sirianni.
Yeah,
it really does. This last game, I felt he did such a nice job. You know, like, there were previous games where I didn't feel like it was as great. Like, I feel real positive right now. That does vary.
Yeah, it does. It's interesting. Bobby, I'll tell you what, it's better than Paul George not knowing the score last night.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Every time you say it.
We gotta play that audio again in a second.
But the biggest problem is that's the opening game. It's the one that you wait so long for.
Look,
it's Paul George's debut.
The only sense it makes is
it is so
it happens
honest.
Every once in a while, but it shouldn't happen. I mean,
again, just don't tell us, man. Like,
you didn't
don't
have to
say
tell.
It. You didn't have to tell us.
All right, we're gonna play that audio in a second. Bobby, give me an answer here. A movie line that is yelled.
I got something for you, Joey. Show me the money.
Already said,
Joey. Show me the money, Joey.
Bobby, if I had it, I'd hand it to you.
What's with the Bobby and Joey thing going on right now?
I don't know.
Kind of weird.
Jerry. He says Jerry in it, so I said Joey.
No, I appreciate it. All right, Bobby, a different caller said that. You get to pivot to a different answer.
All right. How about
three?
Yeah.
Two?
Mm.
One?
Winners always want the ball.
Okay. I don't think it was yelled, but fair enough.
Yeah, I don't think it was.
Yeah, I don't know. All right. Yeah, fair enough. All right, 215-592-9494
I
don't know.
No.
So he was just trying to come up with something. He was drowning right there and trying. And look, that's not easy. If you got an answer and you think it's good to go, and then all of a sudden you find out someone else has said it, not always easy to do the pivot. He didn't have a pivot. That's okay. Reminder.
You know you know what I'm thinking of right now? The FaceTiming aspect is a really interesting part of coaching that we hadn't considered.
Listen, Brandon talked to us about that earlier today. Let's talk to the Eagles head coach about that and more. They're 6-2. It's a 4-game winning streak. And, of course, Nick Sirianni joins us every single Tuesday at this time. He's brought to us by Bud Light. Pre-game with Ava Graham this Sunday before the Birds play Dallas at the Irish Horn in Richboro. Now, the Eagles will play in Dallas, but you can be at the Irish Horn in Richboro, win tickets to the next Eagles home game, and, of course, win merchandise. And we welcome the 6-2 head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Nick Sirianni. Good morning, Nick.
Morning, guys. I'm not going to FaceTime you, though.
That would be cool.
That wouldn't work that well on radio. Now, off air, we'll accept the call. We wouldn't mind that.
It would be so personal.
There you go.
I'd be flattered.
So, Nick, let's start with that. John just touched on it, so let's just get to that, and then we'll get to everything else. But so this connectivity thing, which obviously has been a hallmark of your tenure, where did it come from in your background that I think you lean into it more than most as coaches? And what is the frequency with which you reach out to the guys to try to connect in that way?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I think that any team, I think it starts with this. Any team I've ever been on, it's about team. Any good team I've ever been on, it's always been about team. And it's not the best groups of individuals that wins. It's the best teams. It's the teams that are willing to go a little bit harder because they don't want to disappoint the guy next to them. That dates all the way back to I'm shooting baskets in my driveway at my house, you know, any summer day. And I can't tell you how many times there was a former player that pulled up and said, "Yeah, I'm back in town. Is your dad home? And I just want to say hi to Coach Sirianni." And always that relationship I thought meant a ton. And then fast forward to when I was in college, I had a pretty significant injury, and it forced me to be in the hospital for about 2 weeks, a football injury. And excuse me. And the day after it happened, we were playing, or 2 days after it happened, we were playing a game, and my head coach, Larry Karras, came into the hospital room, you know, the day of the game. And I don't remember what he said. I don't remember much about that, but you know, what I do remember is he sat there, talked with me and my parents for a while. He left. He said, "Hey, Nick, we're going to miss you out there today and the rest of the year." And there was something in me that said, you know, this guy really cares about me. This guy really loves me. And I don't know if I'm capable of being an All-American, but I want to be an All-American for Larry Karras, because I know he cares about me. And, you know, I wasn't good enough to be an All-American. I was second team all OAC, Ohio Athletic Conference in college. But, so I didn't quite reach that feat, but, I did respect the heck out of him, and I did know he cared about me. And I just knew that there was, with those couple moments and those things that you're brought up in, you know, just like anything, it shapes who you are, and it shapes what you believe in, yeah. And it shapes how you lead. And I think those are the things that are there. And then those are the things that you remember most about all the players that you've been around, is the relationships. You admire the plays that they've made, but you admire more the time that you spent with them and the relationships that you have. That's going to last forever.
Yeah, that's important. You know, Nick, I heard a story years ago that when Coach Vermeil was about to coach the Rams in that Super Bowl, shortly before it, I don't know if it's an hour, 2 or 3 hours before the Super Bowl, he called his quarterback from UCLA. And he thanked him for, you know, if that quarterback doesn't do what he does in the 70s, Dick Vermeil probably doesn't become an Eagles head coach. If he doesn't, he probably doesn't coach the Rams in 1999. So that stuff matters. All right, Nick, let's talk
that's
about
awesome.
Yeah,
I got a lot of phone calls to make and thank a lot of players that put me in this spot then today.
There you go. All right, so Nick, let's talk about Sunday. And so obviously some very notable fourth down decisions and 2-point conversion decisions on Sunday. And you said yesterday, and this was the quote, you said, "I think we did the right thing in all those scenarios." So what do you say? And I thought you did in some and not in others, full disclosure. That's what I've been sure. saying the last 2 days. What do you say to the people who disagree with you on 1, 2, 3, 4 of them? What do you say to people who think you got it wrong a couple times?
Sure. Yeah. You know, I know that any time a fourth down decision doesn't succeed, you know, that's going to be a lonely place for myself. And it's also going to be a moment that, you know, I'm going to always have to, look at and say, did I go through the right process, or was I reactionary? Well, everything that I try to teach our guys is to be process oriented. So you're not making rash decisions during the game and like off your hip or whatever. And so all those decisions I made were exactly what they're Eagle football. It's what we've been doing for the last 4 years or last 3.5 years that I've been the head coach. It's been Eagle football. And it's not easy. Obviously it's not easy, because when it fails, there's going to be criticism. And when it succeeds, you know, no one's really high fiving me, and that's okay. But you're doing everything you possibly can do to put the team in a position to win. And so those are all decisions that I'll go back. Like, and we were 11-15 on fourth down going into that game. And so, you know, what we're proud of is that we followed our process, and that, you know, there was noise after the New Orleans game that, you know, we shouldn't have done something, or you know what? And we continued to play Eagle football, what we know Eagle football is. And it helped us get a lead in the Giants game on a 4th-and-3. It helped us early on in the Green Bay game on a 4th-and-3 that helped convert to drives. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those don't go your way. You're not going to be 100% on those. And I have to be able to do what I think's best for the football team at all times, regardless of public opinion, regardless of criticism. I think that's what you're not going to be popular as a leader at all times. It's just not going to be, it's not the reality of leadership. But leadership is doing everything you think is the right thing to do, not off gut reactions, but off of your process and the preparation that you did, right, to help your team succeed and block out every outside noise. Because if I want my team to block out outside noise when it's good, and I want my team to block out outside noise when it's bad,
to just focus on the process, then I sure as heck better do it.
Nick, you talk about the players on a good team. They don't want to disappoint the guys next to them. Do you find that that affects you as a play caller? You know, do you find that you can go for it at times on offense to show the players that you trust them, to reinforce that you believe they can win in that situation?
Of course, yeah. I think that, again, you don't want to let anybody down. That's why you feel so bad when it doesn't go your way, and you feel great when it does. But I think that all comes down to back to the relationships and back to the trust. I have to trust my process of what, again, it's not any numbers that are telling me what to do. It's my trust in the players, right? On a 4th-and-3 against the New York Giants, I think there was a video out that our team put out. It was like, I'm watching this video and I'm remembering what I said. Like, I circled Jalen Hurts and I circled A.J. Brown. I said, I'm going for this right here because I trust the crap out of you guys. Like you guys have showed me time and time again, like, that you've been successful in this, and we score a touchdown there. You know, and I did, and I trusted them on 4th-and-3 in this game. It didn't go our way this time. But I think it does come down to, again, trusting your process, not being reactionary, not having any influence from any outside noise, and just trusting what you do, because we spend a lot of time on that, a lot of time. And then trusting, it comes down to trusting your players. We do, like, again, you're on a good team, so you trust your players. I trust A.J. Brown. I trust Devontae Smith. I trust Jalen Hurts. I trust Saquon Barkley. I trust Lane Johnson, Mekhi Becton, Cam Jurgens, Landon Dickerson, Jordan Mailata when he's back, Fred Johnson now. I trust Dallas Goedert. I mean that's been a big reason where we've been able to get leads and have the success we've had, is because we haven't kicked field goals and we've been able to go and get points. But I fully understand, guys, that when it doesn't go your way, there's going to be criticism. But again, you got to do what you think's best for the football team. And that's not blind faith, right? I think that, faith is, we have blind faith in our faith, but then you have faith because of results and what's happened and what you see at practice every day.
Sure.
And what you've seen on Sundays for the last couple years. And so that's where that conviction, that the process, the trust comes into play.
So, Nick, one of the late decisions, and let's talk about trust from the perspective of the defense. So you go for the 57-yard field goal. What about the trust in the defense to say, if I punt this ball with a good punter, he probably gets the ball around the 10, and I make Trevor Lawrence, and I'll say it, you won't, but a very not good offense, have to go 90 yards against my defense, which has largely dominated the game. I mean, where does that come into the equation in that moment instead of a 57-yarder, which if you miss it, and you do have a good chance to miss it, the ball's sitting right by midfield?
Yeah, I think that's even more trust in your defense to say, if you do miss it, you know they're going to stop them, and we did. But I understand. I understand your question.
Sure.
I think the trust comes in Jake and the field goal unit first and foremost. 2 years ago, I put myself, the things that we go through with situational game management things, that's going to be a 3-hour meeting that I have today. That's meetings throughout the week, and then that's review of all those things and tapes of these things. On Saturday, I put a lot of time into this, and that's my job as a head coach, to make sure that we're managing the game the right way. So I take myself back, and you put yourself, and again, the trust that you have in players, a lot of different metrics are used to help me make these decisions, trust, past experience, analytics, all those things help you make these decisions. But I think, again, I say, first and foremost is the trust in the players. So 2 years ago against Green Bay, we were up 7 points, and the ball was actually back a little bit further. It was a little bit more of a windy day. We were going the other way, but we were up 7 points. I believe it was 37-30 in the fourth quarter, I'm like, okay, here we go. Let's let Jake put us up 2 scores. And he crushed it, and he nailed it. It was great operation. And so it was this very similar one. Now, you're not going to go up 2 scores, but you're going to go up 8. And when you're up 8, it's a different feeling than when you're up 7, because it's just a little bit of a different feeling.
Sure.
Both offensively and defensively. And so that was in my mind, and I did what I thought in that time was the right thing. It didn't work. So our defense had to play defense with a little bit shorter of a field, and they did an awesome job. Nakobe made a great play. you know, it's pretty cool when you win on a walk-off touchdown. So I think that I trusted Jake in that spot. It didn't work this time, and I have no doubt that Jake's one of the most clutch kickers in the NFL. I mean, look at his track record. The last year's Buffalo game, hitting that, and that was to tie it up to go to overtime, but hitting that one from the 42-yard line in the rain and the wind and all that crap. And so, you know, again, you trust in them and trust in the defense that if we do miss this, you know, they've been playing pretty darn good football all game, that we can get a stop if we do.
Nick, what's going wrong with the tush push? We've grown unaccustomed to not converting in goal line and short yardage situations, and then all of a sudden we got hit with a couple non-conversions. What went wrong?
Yeah, man, that play's been so electric for – I don't want to say electric because you only gain like 2 yards on it, but like, right. It's been
effective,
so
effective is all hell.
Yeah. Effective would be the word,
effective.
Yeah.
Effective. Exactly. There you go. That's why you guys talk all day, and effective is the right word. Man, you know what? Hats off to Jacksonville. They did a really good job. And you know what? We're going back to the drawing board. We've had a lot of success there, and we got to do a couple different things coaching wise. That's gonna help some things out. That I still got a lot of faith in it. I still like, because again, you don't lose faith in something just because of one day. And you know, I know we've missed a couple this year, but you know, I don't know exactly what our percentages are comparatively to last year, but I know it's still been highly productive, more so than other plays and other teams doing it, you know. And so, again, hats off to Jacksonville. They had a good plan. They did a good job. When you load the box and do something to stop it, the other things become there's other opportunities for you. And so we'll continue to press on as coaches to make sure that play is – we still got the right guys to do that play and to do everything there. And so we'll try to help these guys be in better spots. I know we'll work our fundamentals that it takes to be good there. We studied the crap out of what Jacksonville did to stop it, and have some answers to go forward from there, because we know we'll probably see it again.
Nick Sirianni here. Two final things. An all-timer by Saquon, the whole thing, the play, the game, the season, it's all an all-timer. How, though, in like the world can the replay booth determine that Jags defender tripping him did not contribute to him falling? I mean, I thought it was a travesty. What did you make of it? And how shocked were you when you heard the official call upon review?
I was hoping you'd ask me more about the play that he made than the one that I'm upset about. Yeah,
you can't get fined for talking about his great play, right?
Exactly. I know you guys don't care about the final.
No, we do care, but it really, I mean, Nick, here's what I'll just say this. So there's a narrative out there that the game was close because the game was close, but I really believe a lot of people have missed the other team being handed 7 points. Like, literally, here you go, other team, here's 7 points. That made the game closer than it would have been.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. I think, you know what, it's very, I'll say it this way. I'll always keep my conversations with the league private. I won't ever put those out there, just like I won't with any players or anything like that. And we're still waiting to hear back. So I don't even have that answer yet, but, I do know this, and that these things happen to level out as the year goes on. You're going to get some calls. You're going to miss some calls. And you're not going to get some calls. So it's like, this is coming from me, who gets, you know, animated about a call that doesn't go his way at times, right? And so I think I've done a better job at this of not being irate at different calls. And there was a couple times that I was in the game. I felt like with the quarterback sneak on the 2-point conversion that didn't go. I mean, I really still feel like we got in because Jalen reached the ball over the goal line. But those plays, again, we're going to get a call, whether it's in the game that you're playing or a game that you're playing next week. It's they're all things, they even themselves out. And so I've tried not to get too crazy about anything like that. And I know, and I think you guys should. Like, I'm not telling you guys not to. I think you should. But that's my perspective. That's my perspective on it, that, you know, sometimes they go, you know, the ball, this ball that we play with is this whatever shape ball, this oval shaped ball that we play with, bounces different ways, and sometimes you get the bounce that you need and sometimes you don't. Like, for instance, Jake's ball hit the goalpost. Yeah. Sometimes that bounces in and you get it hit off of it. And that's the same way with calls. And they got a hard job to do. That's not my job to criticize them. My job is to coach this team the best I can possibly coach this team to help them be ready to play and win each week.
All right, Nick, final thing. And this is something we've been wondering for a few weeks. Most important thing of all, why does Big Dom have a headset on? What's going on there?
Oh, shoot. Again, we've had some headset issues. He's just there to help if any headset issues happen right there, have it back up for me there. And so, yeah, I wouldn't look too much into that.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. All right, Nick, congratulations on the 4-game winning streak, and good luck versus Dallas, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
There he is, Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni. Well,
there's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.